Jesus, who was rich, became poor for our sake. He was God Almighty in heaven, came down as a baby in a manger, emptied himself of a lot of his prerogatives and the wealth of heaven to rescue us, to save our soul. In the bulletin, there's a very colorful envelope that I'd like you to take home and send off to Colorado Springs. That's where the leaders of the Alliance do their work from. And the point of the gift is to help send 60 new workers to be sent overseas. It's a pretty big endeavor. To send one worker overseas is significant giving occurs for that to happen. 60 is good because there's more people who want to serve in places that are hard to get to. And most of these folks are going to go not as pastors, they're going to go as nurses, teachers, construction workers, graphic art people, computer technicians, Domino's pizza delivery people, and all the above, to help people get to know the Lord and to befriend them and to gather in small groups of churches where God would, you know, locate them. So it's a pretty good endeavor, and it's an opportunity for us to do this. So what I'd like you to do, go home and pray, and then send that gift off. You just send it off to the Alliance or Christian Missionary Alliance or whatever the direction tells you, and then it will go for the sending of those workers. And it's a great team effort. All the churches in the States are invited to do this. So we do it gladly, cheerfully, and certainly not, as Randy's version said, not as a result of the nagging of the Apostle Paul or anybody else. So it's a good opportunity to give like God is a giver. And that's really the theme of the Bible verses in 2 Corinthians. To have a heart like God, and since God's the biggest giver, and he gave so much to us, that we could have a heart of giving also. And sometimes it comes really great and easy for us, and sometimes we just need that reminder from God, hey, this is a good thing. You reflect me when you do this. And so this is an opportunity for us. I want to use the passages to introduce the idea of giving like the Lord gives, like the Holy Spirit gives. He is a wonderful gift in our lives. And if God should cut off all the gifts that he gives us from his point on, we can never give enough to even match what he has done for us simply by introducing us to his son, Jesus. I mean, he's wealth untold, you know, in terms of what he means to our soul, the forgiveness of sins, purpose, strength in trials, troubles, and so on. But the Lord being faithful. So God, as the good gift giver, sometimes we ask the little ones, what do you want to be when you grow up? Okay, so maybe that's a junior church question. By the way, is there a junior church dismissal? That's taken place. Or has it? Yeah, it's done. Great. What do you want to be when you grow up? I still ask myself that question every Monday morning. What do I want to be when I grow up? Okay. But I told my sons, if somebody ever asks you that question, you should answer with a big word, I want to be a philanthropist when I grow up. A philanthropist is by definition, a lover of all humanity. Okay, and the philanthropist's job is to spend their whole life blessing others with as much as possible. And you know, you might say, well, you have to be very wealthy to be a philanthropist. As a Christian, you're very wealthy in the love of God, in the grace of God, in the forgiveness of God. Okay, and in the strength of God. You're very, very wealthy. And so to be able to pass that on to others as much as possible, part of our calling as brothers and sisters in Christ. So, just to review some of the passages for us, God's Spirit changes our character from glory to glory in an ever-increasing manner. So as time goes on, he gives us a bigger heart for people around us to help them out physically for sure. I'll share the bread with others, physical bread. You got to have, you know, strength from the food you're going to eat, but also news about the bread of life, Jesus. Not to be, in Francis Chan's illustration, not to be concerned about indulging myself with spiritual food. You know, often, as long as I'm being fed, as long as I have the right Bible, as long as I have the right music, as long as I have the right fellowship, as long as I have what I need, that's what being a Christian is all about. No, it's about knowing that what God has given us, we can pass on to others. And that's a fantastic calling in our lives. We get to be a part of the team. We're like the old character from World War II, Rosie the Riveter. Okay, I don't know if you remember seeing posters of Rosie the Riveter and didn't see it firsthand, but history-wise, Rosie the Riveter were gals who went to work in factories and put equipment together so that the troops could go where they needed to go, okay, and win freedom for others. So we're like Rosie the Riveter as believers who don't go overseas. We put together equipment so that Rachel Wilson, missionary number 61, or number one, and the 60 new people could go and be where they're supposed to be. And in the posters of Rosie the Riveter, she's standing there with a little muscle, you know. And so the strength of God's people being a part of the team. This is what the 2 Corinthians did. They said, okay, Paul said, you be a part of giving like these other churches have done. And you'll be better off for it. And it's not like God needs resources. He has enough resources. But it's so we participate with Him that does our hearts a world of good. And He changes us in ever-increasing glory. You might not be much of a, you know, okay, I'm living to bless others kind of person. But God can put that in your soul as a part of being a Spirit-filled Christian. Okay? And somebody who puts the Lord first. And I never met a person who said, well, you know, I gave too much to bless others, and I was left up the creek. If they are, they're usually bitter and, you know, not, their heart wasn't in it in the first place. I have met a few people, probably, by God's grace, probably met about 10,000 Christians in my life, you know, through churches and things. And really, out of 10,000, I think I only ever met two. Who came and they just said, you know what? I can't pay my water bill or my light bill or my rent because I end up giving too much to, you know, some friends who needed help, or I end up giving too much to the Lord. And so I'm up the creek. In fact, for them too, they recovered pretty quickly. And so we shouldn't fear being a giver. It's an opportunity to serve. So what a wonderful thing God does. Changes us from glory into glory. It's the old Love Divine, O Love's Excelling song from Charles Wesley. Change from glory into glory. That's us. Till in heaven we take our place. Okay, so that's God working in us in the passage. And so the Lord is the unselfish philanthropist. When He ascended into heaven, He gave gifts. Anything good you've had, they come from the Lord. Breathing, heartbeat, joy, a rough time where you need His help. He gave gifts from heaven and still doing it. And He wants us to walk in those shoes. He was rich, became poor for our sake. Blessing upon blessing, grace upon grace. How wonderful He is. We can't give enough thanks to the Lord. And so He says, be this way. Paul reminds the Corinthians that anybody who scatters abroad his gifts, ironically there, abroad, you know, like where you don't necessarily know they're even going to go, scatter. Scatter's not like, okay, I have to know, you know, this missionary personally. They have to be my friend. And then I'll help them. I can get the guy at the bar to do that. Okay. But a Christian, what's a Christian do? Scatter the gifts abroad. to the poor. Poor who don't hear about the Lord. Poor who need a piece of bread. His righteousness endures forever. Now, in other words, it's the quality of somebody whose life has been changed by Christ. It's a reflection of the goodness of His righteousness. So we're so glad that the Lord does that in our soul. And again, I can't emphasize enough the pleasantness. As pleasant as prayer or Bible study or washing somebody's feet or serving or singing a song so well as Rachel did, the pleasantness of giving. It's just like, praise God. And if, you might be here thinking, typical preacher talking about the giving. If you're here on a regular basis, you know I talk about giving. I think in the past 5 years, I've preached 3 times on giving, you know. And so the Lord's really saying, well, it's about time, you know. And some of y'all are saying, 3 times, that's way too much. Go back to the other topics. But the Bible, you know, the Bible's faithful. As Jesus is Lord, a prayer life, family life, Bible study life, He is also Lord of what He's given us. So that's a good way to pass on the goodness of God. Scatter abroad His gifts, and it's our opportunity with our envelope and with our lifestyle. The reality of how we do as a bunch of Christians in our land, anything that goes into any church, tithes, offerings, gifts. Okay, this is just churches. 95% helps people in the United States. Okay, so an overwhelming majority of gifts given go for Bibles for the U.S., Christian radio for the U.S. You know, another, you think of our own youth, they're going to be getting, you guys are going to get Bible number 4 from our church next week, right? We'll just keep giving it to you, okay? You got to read it and do. But it's a good thing. But 95% of all giving stays at home. Some of you are excited about that, and some of you say it should be 99%. I've had people say it should be 100%. You know, that they really haven't read the Bible yet or maybe got the heart that God said this is a good thing to give to those who don't have good news. 5% of offerings given from all churches do go abroad for the rest of the world. And sometimes that's why the rest of the world screwed up. Probably a bottom line reason. No good news about Jesus. Life is going to be violent and chaotic. Very bad. But the Lord can change a heart, can change a life. Our own fellowship, you know, through the ups and downs of how we do, most of the gifts we give, we do say, okay, let's watch how we're doing. Make sure the pastor's, you know, extremely well paid. And we do have some carpeting need fixed, you know, and had the leaky roof. No leaks anymore. New leak over there. Always something local, you know, always something local. But we do want to give to bless others. Part of our calling. The ones who haven't heard. The Rachel Wilson going. The sending of missionaries on a regular basis through your faithful giving. So people like Crystal Dale could go to the Middle East. Marcy and Benoit could go to the European country to help lost Muslims over there know Christ. That's a gift thing. I was going to... I won't use that illustration. I used it for service. But to gain in that growing heart. When I was a younger pastor, I used to tell the... a church up in Erie that was very generous in a lot of ways. I said, our goal is to send all the offerings, half for us, half for overseas. And we almost did it, you know. And I realize the easiest way of doing that is to say, let's just cut all salaries in half. We'll be able to do it no problem. All in favor say aye. So, in other words, there's resources available. But we just want to do it to honor the Lord in a good way. Okay. And the sending of the 60 new ones, that's a wonderful blessing. What it comes down to, too, and this is going to be true in my own life, and it's embarrassing. I'm not a fashion example by any means, but I was, you know, checking out the pairs of shoes I have and the old shoe boxes I need to get rid of or pass on to the Samaritan's purse. Here's my life. 9 shoe boxes for me and 1 for the overseas Samaritan purse. You know, I'm going to scatter that one abroad. You say, come on, you can do better than that, you know. I mean, you only got 1 pair of feet. So easy on the shoe boxes for ourselves. It's just an example of how we could say, oh, it's good to share. It's good to share. It's a blessing that God would give us. So remember the motivation. If Jesus is God's son, a missionary said this once, and died for me, no sacrifice I make for him is too great. None of us went too far. None of us got, you know, none of us were bleeding last week because we followed Jesus. There are places in the world that have to face that. But we're not sacrificing too much. We can still honor God, love the people around us, make sure we get a hamburger spiritually that we need, but a hamburger for the other person who needs it too. If we don't do that, what happens is the treasures of God becomes idle in our life. Good quote by Dr. Gerald May. Wrote a lot about God's grace, fighting addiction. He said, without God, your treasures will kidnap your heart, soul, mind, and strength. I've had this happen to me. Like something becomes really big, you know, and that's all you can think about. And that's all you get excited about, and that's all your strength is. But it ends up destroying both yourself and the treasure. So why take a treasure God gave you and muck it up by making that more important than God? God first all the time. You know, in your heart, your soul, your mind, the gifts that you have to pass on. And chances are you're a generous person because Christ is in your heart. If you would receive Jesus, you would be so thankful and overwhelmed that you'll become a generous person as time goes on. I picked some examples, modern day examples. Rick Warren, pastor, author, he gives away 90% of what the income he has. I don't know, you know, he just said, I don't need all this. I'm just going to keep passing it on. He's like Moses in the Old Testament. God had to tell the people, don't bring any more offerings. We have too much. Someday we'll do that in our church. Not yet. Some Sunday will be there. No offering taken today. There's too much. You know, give it to the Salvation Army or give it to some other need. We'll all be happy when that day comes. And the Lord will be, that's my children. I knew there would be a repeat of history there. So Rick Warren does that. R.J. Letourneau did that. He was a construction worker, inventor. He invented all these earth-moving equipment, things that people use, you know, and copied and so forth. So he said, me and my family, we'll keep the 10, but we can pass on 90% committed Christian, mostly to Christian ministry. Rich Mullins, singer, wrote the song and sang Awesome God, very popular in the 90s. He lived in a car because he says, I want to give most of what I get. He wasn't married, or his wife would have said, how about if we get a house? Or could we live in a shed at least? Now, he wanted to live in a car. We all don't have to live in a car. But the heart mentality is, it's fun to give. It's fun to give. Keith Green was the same way. He and his wife, I think, composed a song that we're going to sing in closing. Retired missionary, a enjoyable story. I hope they wouldn't mind me sharing. This retired missionary who lives up north in Pennsylvania, he said, I give equal to the Lord, any local needs, and any overseas needs. So he's like a double tithing he did in his soul. And his wife, funny part, his wife who was a retired missionary said, we can't afford to keep doing that, you know. she recognized, that's a lot of joy in giving. But the heart was in the right place. No nagging. Thank you for the privilege of teaming up with these missionaries. The Macedonian church, they were poor. They were in big problems. And they were so joyful that they gave generously. I find this in other areas of life. The people who have a lot of pain in their life, a lot of difficulty, like people going through cancer, about a dozen in our church, they're very joyful. I mean, in their soul, they're not glad for their trial. But they know God is my hope and confidence. They can help other people because they know what it is to be up the creek. They're very effective. So if you feel like I don't have a lot, or even if you feel spiritually poor, you can give out of to honor God. There's something precious about that. That's the widow's mite scene. And then you and me, we have a part, you know. What would God's Spirit do? We don't have to have our name listed in some sermon illustration, you know, 5 years from now. We'll put your name up there. Nobody will know. Nobody will know anyway between you and the Lord until you get to heaven. But you just say, I can joyfully give, especially for them little ones. They didn't hear nothing about the Lord yet. I got my 8 Bibles. I might send them, you know, 1 Bible. Whatever the illustration is, I can love them with the treasure that Jesus has loved us. So be that wonderful Christian cheerful giver, Paul said. It's a great adventure, and you'll be reflecting the goodness of God. Let's come to his table where he gave to us, and pray together, please. Our Father in heaven, thank you for your good word. You talk to us about practical things in life. You point out there's a need over there. Help over there.